el micrófono de Alicia Perris.
Según explican los responsables del Teatro Real de Madrid, se ofrecen 9 funciones de esta ópera de Richard Strauss, Capricho, de 1942, que se estrenó por primera vez este año en esta sala el pasado 27 de mayo. El director de escena alemán Christoph Loy, gran conocedor de la obra de Strauss, se lanza por primera vez a la interpretación de esta obra maestra realizada en coproducción con la Opern House de Zürich. Debutan también en sus respectivos papeles la soprano Malin Bindstrom como Condesa Madeleine, el barítono Joseph Wagner como el conde, el tenor Norman Reinhardt Flamand, el barítono André Schuen Olivier y el bajo Christoph Fischesser en el rol de Lagos. Al frente del extraordinario reparto y de la orquesta titular del Teatro Real está el director israelí Asher Fish, del que el micrófono de Alicia Perris les ofrece una entrevista exclusiva realizada en su camerino pocos minutos antes de una de las funciones de Capricho en el Real. Con este estreno, se propone al público una obra maestra cuya composición y contenido argumental trascienden el valor artístico para invitar al eterno debate en torno a la ópera. ¿Qué es más importante, la palabra o la música? Se trata de un dilema del que hablará el director israelí para Radio Sefarad, entre otros asuntos, como las impresiones sobre su trabajo en esta producción, sus proyectos de futuro, las dificultades de dirigir y montar este trabajo concebido y escuchado durante el Tercer Reich, en el que estuvo la mano desdibujada por los censores del querido y lamentado, pero también disfrutado escritor judío Stefan Zweig. Asher Fish comparará de paso las similitudes de aquellos tiempos pasados con estos que nos toca vivir, sus principios como colaborador de Daniel Barenboim en Alemania, sus constantes viajes por el mundo, llevando buena música y excelente repertorio a todas las audiencias. La ópera nos revela, por si lo desconocíamos o habíamos olvidado, entre sus frases célebres que siempre el que escoge pierde, lo interesante es lo fugaz. O para finalizar, el clásico, la cena está servida, madame, al final de la función, cuando la condesa, que aparentemente no ha sabido o no ha querido elegir, se sienta a cenar sola, después de haber estado profusamente rodeada de corte y pretendientes, dando por todo final un beso intempestivo e inesperado a su sirviente. Capricho surge de una idea original del escritor Stefan Zweig, quien descubrió una ópera breve de Antonio Salieri y Battista Casti. Prima la música e poi le parole en torno a este tema y sugiere al compositor la creación de una nueva obra inspirada en él. Strauss creó Capricho en colaboración con Clemens Krauss, ya que el libretista originario Zweig fue vetado por ser judío y luego comenzó un periplo agónico por el mundo que lo llevó a recalar finalmente en Brasil para terminar con su suicidio acompañado en tierras americanas. Nos adentramos pues con el maestro Fish en este proyecto cargado de ironía, ingenio e inteligencia. Como dicen los responsables del Teatro Real, en clave de comedia, se propone una reflexión sobre la importancia que debe tener en la ópera la palabra en relación con la música. Y muchas otras cosas importantes, porque una profunda reflexión sobre el teatro, la ópera italiana, muy denostada, frente a las creaciones musicales alemanas que a partir de Wagner intentaron reproducir y dignificar el modelo alemán pangermánico volcado en el rastreo de los griegos, la historia y la puesta a punto de un nuevo mundo exclusivo y excluyente. Hay un perfume de Aristóteles por doquier, tiznado aquí y allí por la filosofía de Nietzsche, y una recurrencia erudita y sorprendente a temas históricos, escritores, compositores y toda la retahíla que hacen del oyente supuestamente un cómplice adecuado para la magnificencia y excelencia alemanas. Así, mientras el mundo occidental se sumergía en los horrores de la Segunda Guerra Mundial, en el corazón de la Alemania nazi, Richard Strauss se aleja de la realidad. No en vano la ópera está ambientada en un castillo en París en 1775 para contarnos la historia de la condesa Madeleine, una culta y refinada aristócrata, incapaz de decidirse ante el amor de sus dos pretendientes, un poeta y un compositor. Recordemos que entre 1933 y 1945, Joseph Goebbels fue el ministro de la propaganda del Tercer Reich. La celebración de su cumpleaños origina la creación de una pequeña obra de teatro en la que participan ambos artistas y que dará origen a un debate intelectual y filosófico no exento de humor, como decíamos, alrededor de la cuestión fundamental de la predominancia de la música sobre la palabra en el teatro musical. No falta aquí la burla a la ópera italiana y al bel canto, con una protagonista que se muere mientras sigue cantando, apuntan, como si fuera natural que un compositor acompañe una ópera como aquí, durante casi 2 horas y media sin descanso, una reflexión peregrina y reiterativa, por decirlo de alguna manera, sobre, pongamos, la esencia del drama lírico. El personaje central de Capricho es la condesa, una mujer de enorme sensibilidad que refleja en esa indecisión ante la elección de uno de sus dos pretendientes la necesidad de definir los valores y los afectos que determinarán el resto de su vida. En ese momento trascendental en el que transcurre la acción, su cumpleaños, Madeleine, ante el omnipresente espejo que preside su salón, mira al presente con la conciencia de que pronto será pasado, como la niña que fue y que se encuentra en un tránsito hacia el futuro. Los dejamos con la entrevista al maestro Asher, guapo, sonriente y atlético, esta vez por falta de tiempo de la organización, sin traducción simultánea, pero en un inglés básico y asequible, incluso para beginners. Que la disfruten. Hasta la próxima. Maestro Fish, thank you so much for this interview for Radio Sefarad. Just before the beginning of the Capriccio performance of this evening. Maestro, you were born in Jerusalem and are always on tour. Now in Madrid at the Teatro Real for this gorgeous production of Richard Strauss' opera. What are the impressions you have with the score, the audience, the libretto, the singers? It's really a big task.
Well, this is the first time I conduct this opera. I've conducted many other Strauss operas and works and many other operas in the repertory. And this is really a very unique piece because it's Strauss's latest opera and it's a completely different style to all his other operas. It's very conversational. It's the score is not as thickly written as many other Strauss scores. But it's very, very tricky because you have to accompany the singers the whole time and make the audience believe that everything is very free and it's almost like it's improvised on stage because they're having a conversation on a very interesting topic. So it has.
That is the contrary, perhaps. It's not very easy.
No, exactly. So it should feel that it's very yes. easy and light and flowing, but it has its own difficulties. And it's I'm very happy to see that the audiences in Madrid, they're really into it and they're coming to the performances and they like it.
You have been loyal to the Strauss demands and it is not easy because all is based on a recitative style to the end, like in the very first operas, Prima la parola, dopo la musica.
Yes.
Everybody says Capriccio is one of the most important productions of the season and others in this theater, a perfect artifact. Do you agree? I imagine.
Well, it's very nice to hear that, and it's nice to be part of something that is so highly appreciated by the press, by the audience, by the theater. I must say that it's very rare that you do a production where all of the elements come together in such a good way. And I must say that we have a wonderful production by Christoph Loy. We have a very, very good cast of singers. And I'm very, very happy with the orchestra because I think that initially they were a little worried about it, but because it's very unknown to them. But just because it is unknown to them, it was very easy for me to really take out of them the best that they can give and mold the opera in my vision. And that was very lucky for me.
Capriccio, it's a case of theater inside theater, or in German, Musik oder Ton. It's your first time at Teatro Real. What are your feelings about these collaborations?
This is one of the better functioning theaters in the world. I'm very happy to work here because, first of all, it works. The rehearsal period, the whole house is engaged.
Enough rehearsals.
More than enough.
That's a problem now.
Usually it's a problem, but this is, we had more than enough rehearsals.
Oh, I see.
7 weeks of rehearsals. But everybody in the theater is very kind and very hardworking. So you can really achieve results.
How is your relationship with this local orchestra and choir and this marvelous cast with such a beautiful German pronunciation and theatrical performance?
Yeah, you cannot do this opera, I think, with people who do not speak the language. It's really, I think it's the first demand is that they speak, because it's so much about the text. Naturally, we're having a German-speaking cast, but not only a German-speaking, that's not enough, but very, very good singers.
Give me, please, your personal reasons to mount an opera like Capriccio now.
Well, in my development, I conduct a lot of German opera as well as Italian opera, and there are some operas always that I still need to add to my repertory. So this came at a good time with a lot of experience with Strauss, but now I can add some new titles to my repertory.
Capriccio is a real human conflict, and the personal circumstances of the writer Stefan Zweig behind in a second plan. Some similarity to our present times, maestro? The problems of the Third Reich, the totalitarianism.
Well, you cannot really compare. It's a very unique period in history, I think. But I'm not afraid to blame some events that I see and some trends in world politics that remind me totally of what happened then. I think that what we don't see now is we're in a similar situation to the beginning of the problems in Germany, because I think that things are developing and happening and we cannot believe that they are and we cannot really judge them. But I think in the future we will look back and regret it, what is happening
now. And this is not good.
Not good at all.
Not at all. Maestro Loi, who prepared the regia of this Capriccio, your companion in this musical travel, said, "There's no answer. When you choose, you always lose." Do you agree with these words?
Well, in this case, absolutely yes. In politics, no.
Oh,
you
yes.
have to choose and you have to be convinced in your way and do what you believe in. But in such a question, it's like, pan con tomate. Can you choose between the tomate and the jamon is together?
Altogether, yes.
jamon is the...
It's not kosher. It's not kosher. Now, how are female characters in Richard Strauss operas and the title role in Capriccio? It's a leading question to be asked nowadays, isn't it? Me too, and so and
well,
so.
Well, yes, but Strauss, his women are always much more beloved by him than his men. He writes always the best music to women. He loves the soprano voice. His wife, she was a very good singer, and many of the songs that he composed for her. And when they got married, the present was four of his most beautiful songs he composed for her. So I think with him, it's genuine in respect and love for the woman, for the female voice.
Do you think Capriccio is a true Gesamtkunstwerk, an opera that appealed to opera and young audiences of all ages, even beginners?
Well, yes and no, because it's a Gesamtkunstwerk, because it's an opera that presents so many different elements, but you don't have a chorus. It's not an opera about a big scene or ballet. It's not a movie. So it's a very, to me, it's more theater with music than a Gesamtkunstwerk. I would say it's mostly theater.
You began your conducting career as Daniel Barenboim's assistant and kapellmeister at the Berlin Staatsoper. What memories do you have of that time?
Oh, I can remember everything.
I know him personally.
He
dedicated some tangos like this.
Ah, yes. I remember every day with him, and only good memories, because I learned so much from him, and I was really very lucky to be chosen by him at the beginning to be his assistant and then Kapellmeister in Berlin. And he made my career, and I owe all my knowledge to him.
Maestro, always in tour with many different orchestras, you visit almost a half of the planet, and in addition, recently recorded the complete Brahms symphonies with the West Australian Symphony Orchestra. What can you say to me?
That I'm tired of traveling.
Yes, of course, I imagine.
And I'm now, I have a family now with two small kids, so now for the near future, for the next few years, I'm trying to concentrate more of my work in Europe. I go to Australia, but I will not go so much to Japan and America like I do now. But Spain is not so far, so that's definitely on the map.
So your upcoming projects on the horizon are about traveling less and working in Europe?
I will take a job. I cannot still announce it, but there's a job in the making which will keep me a little closer to home.
Thank you again for your precious time dedicated to Radio Sefarad. You know, for us, Stefan Zweig is a symbol, and all the Jewish artists like you are a real treasure. In bocca al lupo!
Crepi!
Toi, 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 toi!
Shalom, toda raba!
And first of all, shalom.
Shalom.